The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
It was on regular rotation most weekends. I don't even know how many times I've seen Stand By Me, but it's been many.
The terrible Australian, Be Jermaine.
And he pretty much just yells out, misery's alive, misery's alive. Oh, this whole house is going to be full of romance. Oh, I'm going to go put on some Liberace records. I don't know why that line just killed me for some reason.
It contains coarse and explicit language.
There's some serious shit going on. And here I'm like, the f***? What is this? Why?
Mature themes.
King himself and also Mick Garrison, how they sort of stage how this virus sort of spreads and everything, was just very eerie and very unsettling for me.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
G'day everyone, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome to a very special audio commentary edition of the King Zone podcast, the podcast where my co-host Super Marcy and I dissect all the film and TV adaptations of the works of horror author Stephen King. And with me once again is the Super Marcy in supermarcy.com. That, of course, is Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
That's a lot of Super Marcy's. Yes, I'm doing well. I like hearing my name over and over.
Indeed, indeed. So I figured I needed to say your name at least four times because that's the only way, just like Candyman or Beetlejuice, is how I summon you.
Yes, yes, repeatedly say Super Marcy and here I am.
Exactly. But Marcy, we're not alone on this episode of the show because joining us once again, and I mean that both literally and figuratively, is our good friend and previous guest on this very show, Matt Knopka. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Whatever could you mean by figuratively and literally?
Well, let's just say this is not the first time we've recorded an audio commentary for the movie we're doing today, because let's just say we originally recorded this episode last week, and let's just say a certain someone, aka me, forgot to press the record button, and now that episode has been lost into the void of time.
and neither of us even thought to be, like, double check, like, is it recording?
Exactly.
It's a group effort to lose that episode.
Yeah, I feel like we all kind of dropped the ball there.
Yeah, especially me in particular, because I'm always the one that's like, whenever I use Zoom to record on anything, it's like, oh yeah, better record right now. And that was the first time that would, I forgot the completely recorded episode of the show.
I'm glad it wasn't me for once, because I've made a mistake a couple of times.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, you know, we learned an important lesson of what you're capable of, Bede, which is not hitting record.
Exactly. So expect a lot of jokes at the expense of both myself and as well as the previous recording of this episode. But given the movie we're doing for this episode today, I think it's okay for us to come back and do another audio commentary.
I mean, I'm not complaining about watching this movie again.
More incest jokes.
Exactly.
And werecat jokes.
Exactly.
I might point out the irony of our first, like, bonus audio commentary for The King Zone is a film that is not actually an adaptation of anything. It is an original screenplay from Stephen King, and we generally have focused on the adaptations, but we do enjoy the original works. But I just think it's ironic because we focus on adaptations. But anyway,
indeed,
I was adapting the last episode or the last recording, I should say.
Exactly.
Or unrecorded.
I mean, I think before we proceed, we'll just give us one of these.
Well deserved.
So if people haven't already guessed what movie we're doing for today's audio commentary, yes, we are going to be doing the 1992 cult classic Sleepwalkers, which was directed by Mick Garris and also from an original screenplay by Stephen King. So I'm looking forward to doing this audio commentary again. And yes. Try to remember all my jokes from the previous ones, especially
forgotten.
Nah, it's better if you forget them.
I've forgotten them. I don't know where this will go, but do you want to lay down what people need to do if they want to watch along with watch the movie along with listening to us at the same time? I can't.
Indeed, and luckily I'm not editing this episode. Anyways, so what you need to do, everyone, is look up the film Sleepwalkers if it is playing on any streaming service or DVD or on Blu-ray in your part of the world. We're going to count down from five, and then when I say go, that's when you play the movie. Then that way our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. However, if you're not interested in watching Sleepwalkers, first of all, how dare you? And second of all, even if you're not interested in watching it, I still reckon this will be a fun listen to regardless. So, Marcy, Matt, are you ready for a second round of pussy jokes with Sleepwalkers?
Bring it on.
All righty. Let's do this in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm not going to lie. I've checked at least five times that it's recording, even though I distinctly remember it telling me it's recording.
Marcy, as soon as like I press the stop recording button, I'm going to be checking to see if it is recording.
We should be all good. It's all good. It's fine. Yes, it's fine.
It's going to be great. Enjoy. Everything's great.
We're going to enjoy this movie again.
Yes. Just in case if you didn't know what a sleepwalker is.
Is it just me, or do you feel like you see less of this in movies these days? Mm-hmm. Like you know, like a title with like the definition of something. I miss that from what I feel like was a specifically late 80s, early 90s thing.
Yes. Definitely. I agree.
When Stephen King wrote that, he was like, I just came up with that out of my ass.
Is that your Stephen King impression?
Well, I had to do like my main accent. Martha
and Carl Brody. Oh, look. Anyway, Mark Hamill is a man who was on the screen.
With that big mustache and those massive glasses that are too big for his face.
And also his slick back hair, Marcy.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I feel like it's a good look for him, actually. I don't know.
Hey, B, doesn't she show up in a Friday the 13th movie so you can self-promote your show?
Yes, Rusty Schwimmer, who is in Jason Goes to Hell, which is a recent episode of Steve vs. Care Crystal Lake, which is a spin-off to B vs. Living Dead, which you can listen on all podcast streamers everywhere.
I don't like this with all these dead cats everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is Keenan Garris just going as hard as possible right away. I mean, like, if you hear that this is about cat people and you're a cat lover and are thinking, oh man, I can't wait to watch this movie about cat monsters, and then the first shot is just like 20 dead cats.
Yeah, this movie goes against like so many typical tropes and stuff, which I really like, and I think Sleepwalkers should get its flowers. It is genuinely like a really cool movie, and I just want to point out like one thing. We did see this around Bede's birthday last year on the big screen, which was really awesome. And it was definitely like with a mixture of a crowd who had seen it before and who hadn't, but everyone still reacts to the same things, which is, you know, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun. And we thank our dearly departed friend Lee for setting up so many amazing screenings and everything else that he has done for film in general.
Yeah, R.I.P. Lee. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure he would love a really inappropriate commentary for this movie.
I'll be mentioning the word spoof a lot in this audio commentary in Lee's honor.
Yes. Well, I think that corpse had some spoof on it.
Yeah, Marcy, that's meant to be a teenage girl because of the braces.
Would have been a teenage boy.
No, he says little girl.
Okay.
We know what teenage boys get up to.
Marcy, you're scaring the little girl.
I didn't know it was a little girl.
She's frozen stiff.
I've seen this movie countless times. I don't remember anything.
Although I have to say, though, the fake braces. I don't know why the fake corpse with the braces just pops me for some reason.
It pops you?
Because it just like, it, you don't expect to see braces on a, like a, like a shriveled up corpse.
I mean, I think that's part of just what makes it so kind of just like, ugh, you know, like this entire film has that sort of, I don't want to, not scary, but just like that kind of like grossed out a little bit or an uncomfortable vibe to it, you know? I mean, again, in the first 5 minutes, we've had, you know, a shit ton of skinned cats and then dead bracelet girl with braces. Like, you know, right away, the film is just breaking rule after rule of who you typically see killed in horror films, you know?
Yes.
And this opening sequence is so amazing that they ripped it off in Catwoman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was one of Bede's jokes last.
It was.
Episode.
You stopped. You plagiarized my joke, Marcy. How dare you?
I just repeated your joke, you and I literally gave you credit. So
he did give you credit, though. That's true. Mm.
You know, maybe the sleepwalkers were actually born out of, like the island of Dr. Moreau with those like animal-human experiments.
Yes.
And all this other shit is just bullshit.
Yes.
So, it's just mythology that doesn't matter.
That just made me think on how the island of Dr. Moreau is kind of all incest going on around there a little bit.
Yeah.
Stephen King's a cat. I know it.
They're all kind of like related, you know.
Although I just realized one of the executive producers on this movie is Dmitri Logofiev. And I probably butchered his last name, so please forgive me. Most people probably don't recognize the name, but you would have seen some of his movies because he's also a director.
Oh.
He directed the Nicolas Cage movie, Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh.
And also Kickboxer Vengeance and Retaliation.
Ah, the more recent ones.
Yes.
The classic Nicolas Cage movie, Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes.
The one everyone listening has seen.
Yes. And everyone should see, because it's Nicolas Cage. And he also directed Slaughterhouse Rock.
I do actually really like Slaughterhouse Rock.
Look at that 35-year-old teenager.
Actually, how old was Brian Krause in this? Like, when he did this?
I'm curious.
I'm going to find out. Nobody else.
You're the trivia person.
Well, I'm looking it up right now, Marcy.
He looks like your typical, like, movie heartthrob in this.
Yes.
I mean, that's 35. What I like about it, because it's kind of, it's almost sort of set up like kind of a teen drama or comedy for the first, you know, outside of, like, the cat people parts.
And outside of, oh, I'm fucking my mom.
Yeah. But, like, his whole relationship with Match and Amick, you know, or however you say it, it's all kind of set up like that, you know, to be like one of those sort of 80s romance movies.
And this one was like, yeah, it kind of is, but it's kind of not.
Yeah.
Like, this just breaks a lot of, like, things you'd expect to happen.
Oh. So, Brian Krause, at the time of when he made this movie, was actually 21 years old.
Oh, there you go. So he was only like a few years older than what he needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like early 30s, though.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I might got that wrong. 23, sorry. So he was 23.
That was 23, yeah.
Yeah. Meow. That was a real trap that almost got that cat.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was a no animals were harmed in the making of this picture note at the end, right?
Yes, there was.
That's what they want you to think.
So if that was your mom, would you be like, eh, whatever?
I mean,
I'm not consenting to the mother and son thing, but Alice Creed is attractive.
I mean, especially around this time, because I think she was in, well, she was only 14 years older than Brian Krause, so she was in her mid-30s.
Yeah, which is like nothing when you're in your early 20s, so.
Yes. But some reason, like, she looks younger than him.
Pumpkin pie.
Well, they're so attractive. They just couldn't resist each other.
Yes.
But they were like, you know, we're the only two left of our kind. We could repopulate, like, but no, they don't do that. They just do the incest.
Yes. But I mean, since they basically are in an incestuous relationship, couldn't they have more cat-human hybrid babies?
Wouldn't they be able to just breed more? I mean, it'd take a few generations to get out, like, the really inbredness.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we don't know, though, you know, because the cat people are pretty complex in all of their different rules. Like, maybe it takes, like, 100 years to birth a cat person.
See, this is what happens. You get into an incestuous relationship, and then 100 years later, your offspring turn into a cat-human hybrid.
So maybe. And I love how this just acts like it's just a romance between these two people, but then it's like, no, they're actually mother and son.
Yeah. Never fails to unnerve me just a little bit.
Yes.
But they do look like the couple that'll ask you if you're interested at the bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, we saw you from across the cat bar.
And then you'd be like, maybe?
Well, this is the thing I want to know, too, is like, is incest a common thing in the cat person society?
I don't know.
You know, is it just because they're the last two as far as they know?
That is
a
good question.
Hope for the latter, but I think they just, I don't know. At least in these two is case, they just like the incest, I guess. And the cats are really offended, you know, by it.
And their incest brings out purple lighting in their window.
It's the color out of space.
That's just cat juice.
It is. It's the color out of space. They bite. Also, Scream Dream.
I want to see these movies.
I would love to see this.
I would imagine double feature. I imagine Scream Dreams is basically what would happen if you mix Scream and A Nightmare on Elm Street into the one movie.
So, like, Freddy's in their dreams, but also in real life?
Yes. But also, did see the poster for it. Yes. So, we just saw the poster for Scream Dreams back there, and they used the Scream painting as the basis for the poster.
Which is brilliant. Think about this. That background poster there is more creative than I feel like most of the posters you see for big releases now.
It's just a mess of Photoshop.
I'm so tired of like here's the actor's face and that's it. Like, goddamn, give me some.
But it makes me nostalgic for the 90s, Matt. How dare you?
What, modern posters or old posters?
The 90s where they're all just standing in a triangle or whatever.
Yes.
So has anyone ever been as good looking as she is in this movie?
No. You see that, what's the hottest anyone ever has been in a movie?
Yeah, it's
social
her.
Media, it should just be this.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine like anyone who was young saw this movie. I can imagine Madge Mamik in this movie would have been someone's early crush in a movie.
Oh, 100%.
She would have been like a lot of teenage sexual awakenings.
Yes.
I mean, how can you resist?
Especially with popcorn in your hair. You scared me. Sorry. It's the total meat cute that's like fully set up.
I like how basically, don't worry, I'll clean it up, and she makes even more of a mess than she did before. Could I get a popcorn and a medium
Mr. Pibb, please? Yes. What's a Mr. Pibb? I feel so dumb for not knowing.
It's like Dr. Pepper, I think. Ew. But not.
Is it a real product or is it like a made-up movie product?
Oh no, Mr. Pibb is real.
They've got Toblerones in there by the looks of it.
There's all the Toblerone. For creative writing, Mr. Fallows.
So weird and terrible. What I like about Madge Mamik's performance in this movie is just the little bits of body language in her performance, like the lip biting and all that. Just the show's like, oh, I'm really do have a crush on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't if she knew he fucked his mom straight away.
I mean, that's probably a red flag.
That's probably a red flag. Don't put that on your dating profile.
But then again, she might be one of those weirdo. Maybe she's one of those weirdos like, oh, I'm into guys who like to fuck their moms.
Is that a... I don't know that that's a thing.
Matt, I mean, of course we're talking. Matt, it probably exists somewhere in the world. If I thought of it, it probably is
there's
real.
Probably like a million porn videos of it out there.
Yes.
They just add the word step in there a few times to, like, you know, make it less weird when we all know what it really is going on.
Again, I think I mentioned this on the Lost episode of the show, so I'm going to mention this here. What I always like about this movie is, like, it does subvert our expectations because you think a character like Charles, when he starts talking to Mad Jemamek's character, like, you would think, okay, they're really into each other. He has feelings for her. You think, oh, okay, maybe he's going to be conflicted about wanting to kill her, and then in the end he does it, and then of course the mum gets mad and so forth and so on and so forth. But then you were like, no, he definitely wants to kill her.
There was no point where he actually didn't want to do that. Like, pretty much.
No, yeah, and I think that's kind of what's brilliant about it is, again, it's just another one of those things that the film does to sort of twist our expectations because... you know, I feel like every time you see something like this in a film where the villain is on some kind of mission for another villain and they have, like, conflicted feelings about it, there's always that moment of, like, no, I can't do it and whatever. And in this case, it's just full on, nope, yeah, he does not give a shit.
Like, he really doesn't give a shit. And this is obvious because it's like, oh, we got to keep our identities quiet. And he's like, no, I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Like, both of them are just absolutely ruthless in this movie. I'm sorry, officer. Which is kind of something I like, because it's very cat-like to me, you know? Like, cats are unpredictable in a sense.
Y'all have a good night. Cats can love you 1 minute, and then all of a sudden they're like...
Exactly. I mean, I think that's the thing about this movie. Like, Marcy's saying it deserves its flowers. You know, it, as much as there might be with it that might not work for some people, it's a really smart film.
And also, I think incest is what murks the movie. But it's like, well, you know what? These are invented, like, werecat people. As you said earlier, Matt, maybe that's just how the society was. Maybe they're like... Anything
special in my... Yep, I think we lost you right there.
I blame Freddy.
It's definitely Freddy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you now, yeah.
I'm going to sound shit. What the fuck?
Now you sound fine.
Oh, my microphone has disconnected, reconnected. I don't even know what I'm connected to now.
No, you sound fine for my app. This is
fine.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Is like, on one hand, or for one thing, you know, we don't know. Obviously, we don't know what their species is. You know, what they believe and what they consent on and all that. But the other thing is, I mean, it's a horror movie. You know, like, I don't really see. I can definitely see why someone would watch it and, you know, have issues with the incest to a point where they don't enjoy the movie. But I think that it's part of what makes it an effective film, because it's just this consistently unnerving, kind of gross, makes you want to take a shower sort of feeling. And, you know, to me, that's effective horror. So.
But also, they were sleepwalkers. Like, you would think. I think we already said it, but it's like the fact that they don't turn on each other.
Mm-hmm.
At all. Robbie and his mother
always had to run. Yeah, like, they genuinely are in love, I think, you know? It doesn't really feel... It never really feels like the mother is kind of manipulating him into loving her in this way. It feels like that's just their relationship.
Because so. I think, like we said, like, you expect them to turn on each other, but it never happens. And it's, again, the things that make this movie very unique. Aside from the obvious. And also being, like, werecat people.
Yes.
Isn't that where you transferred from? Yes.
And why is this teacher so fascinating?
The first time we kind of saw it like this.
Yeah, and why is the teacher so fascinated with him?
I mean, I think he's just, you know, attracted to him. He just gets lost in his deep, I believe, their blue eyes.
I suggest that next time you keep your hands to yourself, Mr. Crawford. And stop looking like that guy from Twin Peaks.
Yeah. All right.
Any thoughts on Mr. Brady? I mean, he literally went to class.
That girl was in Twin Peaks.
Wrote a fucking story called Sleepwalkers about what him and his mom are. It was
different. Yeah, it's interesting because
it's like, obvious. He spells it out right there.
Well, it's like, right, like we talk about how ruthless and evil he ends up, you know, revealing himself to be, but it's like at the same time, there is kind of he's a fascinating character because you can tell he does really want this to be over. But when it comes to like what his mother wants, you know, he's willing to put all of that aside and still, you know, commit fully to it.
But he's also just making everything very obvious about himself.
Oh yeah, no, for a couple of creatures that want to like stay hidden from the world, they are doing a terrible job at it.
I just don't understand this teacher at all.
I just like he has to like just open up the shutter, even though he could clearly already see outside without having to push it down.
Well, it's not as effective if you don't push it down.
Well, that is true. Wait a second, that bell was called On a Bell. It's a... I wonder if I could get a free book from it.
Maybe. 90s, when teachers pulled you out of the class by your ear. Are you
serious? We need to bring that back. We need more ear pulling in cinema.
Do we though? I mean, more yes. Ear pulling in cinema, always.
We just talked at the theater. You don't know how deeply affecting an ear pulling can be. Because it hurts, damn it.
It hurts, damn it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. It hurts, and it also is embarrassing. It's like, oh, look at this loser. You're getting pulled by the ear.
Right.
Well, then I know how to deal with you next time you're out of line. Just pull you by the ear.
We didn't have phones back then to record this shit either. Like, you could tell your parents, and they'd be like, oh, I'm sure it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Charles. Do you know Jeanette and Carrie? This is Charles Brady.
That's not Carrie.
The same class, Tanya. Oh.
Yeah, I don't see Sissy Spacek anywhere in there.
No.
She doesn't have psychic powers. Is this an alternative universe where Carrie actually has friends?
Yes, it was where nothing bad ever happened.
It is Kane. He does tend to set all of his stuff in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Although I am disappointed by the lack of bullies in this movie.
I mean, the teacher's a pretty fucking big bully. And I mean, you could argue that the mom is if you want to. Like, she's kind of a bully.
No, you did. So thank you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you kind of think about it, like, the whole thing is like, she wants him to go out and bring virgins home. And I'm like, first of all, why can't you do it?
Yeah, you're Alice fucking Creed, all right? I feel like you'd have no problem just showing up at a high school or whatever, or the bar. Just showing up at the bar and, you know, you got a pretty good shot of going home with someone.
Look, she could just go to, like, the nerd section of the college and one of them, or a lot of them, will be a virgin. So she'd be fine. They'd have no problems. But right, meanwhile, Charles over here...
You want to go home with me? And you'd have like 10 college kids running up to her.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Charles over here likes to play and live very dangerously and just expose them. So, I don't know. I feel like if she was getting the virgins to feed on, they wouldn't have had any issues.
Yes.
Also, how dare he have the exact same car I had in high school? When I was just as cool as Charles. I'm kidding. I was never cool.
Aww. You're cool,
but you had
Matt.
A car. That was the optimum of cool in high school if someone drove and had a car.
That's true.
You do?
Yeah.
And I do. Sorry.
I feel like I feel like it'd be really embarrassing, you know, if you had the hobby of a gravestone rubbing and you just invited home a date one day and they walked in and they like saw one of the rubbings you did and it was like their dead dad.
I was literally about to say the same thing.
Oh, were you?
Like, I'm kind of unsettled by the like gravestone rubbings, but imagine if you walk into a house and there was like one of your relatives' fucking graves.
Right. Yes. Like, I think it's a cool hobby, and no disrespect to anyone that does it. Because I think it's really interesting. But I'm just trying to imagine like the awkwardness of somebody coming over and being like, yeah, I know that person.
Yeah. That was my great-great-grandfather, Joe Bob. What are you doing?
Right. Like, when you all live in the same town, you know, like, the odds are pretty good.
Marcia, I gotta ask, as a woman, is it true that women have just their underwear and bra just all over the room instead of in a hamper?
Not to the extent that it is in this film. Like, I have my hamper there. It's very full, and I hate, like, winter and raining because you can never dry clothes. I don't have a dryer, but no, I usually try and it either all goes on my computer chair and I move it when I'm at the computer, or it's in the hamper, or I put it away.
I mean, I feel like it's like half, you know, like the movies are half accurate in a sense, because like I mean I don't know about other women, but like my wife, yes, I feel like she has some clothes in almost every room in our apartment somewhere,
so. Going out tomorrow. I try not to be messy. But that's me now as a teenager. Actually, yeah, I was not to that extent. I used to just like,
I do rubbings too.
You know, put it to the side. Course, yeah, he does rubbings. He rubs his mother.
Ew.
Yeah, he does.
Tell me, Charles, do you use powder or stick?
I use stick. Usually number 5.
Yeah, he's got a stick at number 5 in his pants. Yeah.
Number 7 inches.
I think everything he's talking about right now is innuendo, because he says powders are so messy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this whole conversation is innuendo for sex.
Yes.
I actually think maybe he's actually just got a mummy fetish.
Maybe. I was going to say, I think he wants to do Madchamamix's mum now too.
It feels like he's kind of giving her those eyes, you know? See, look at that face.
Wait,
yeah,
you have
they're
a mom
definitely getting 3 tickets to Challengers later.
Why does Tanya's dress look like a curtain?
I was going to say, she like got a date for the next day wearing that dress.
Look, I think she's kind of not into style, maybe.
I would imagine it's like, Tanya's the kind of girl, it's like she's very, very good looking, very attractive. She could easily be the popular girl, but she's definitely a nerd.
She's like, I don't need to dress up because I'm so hot.
Again, oh, this is another thing to love about her.
Oh, this song isn't foreshadowing.
Yeah,
it's can you a see monster. It's a monster?
Very subtle. Very subtle.
There's a monster deep inside of me. I was going to say it wants to fuck Charles's mom.
Hey, Marcy, you know how you can get a monster deep inside of you? Just drink a can of Monster.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm not wrong.
You know, it would have been more funny if you said, if you fuck the can of Monster.
I mean,
wow. I feel like that would hurt.
That would hurt.
If you want to see something that hurts during sex, there's a scene in Patrick Still Lives that, let me just say, I will never look at fire pokers the same way ever again.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
No, thanks. I'd rather stick my dick in the dune bucket and take my chances.
Everyone would rather stick their dick in the dune bucket.
And people are already making videos of it. Let's just
say. Oh, they're not. You said don't look so on Twitter. Factually, now I know they exist somewhere.
They do exist.
Oh, I'm gonna go watch them all.
But
But you are, Charles.
I don't, again, I don't understand this teacher, but I kind of don't blame Charles for acting like a cunt either.
Oh no, I mean, this teacher absolutely deserves to die. And knowing that this is the world of Stephen King, like, I almost imagine that this teacher is also a psychopath. Like, if you were reading the novel, you know, I feel like there'd be whole sections about how the teacher has, like, dead bodies in his basement and shit.
He, yeah, like, took, like, after John Wayne Gacy or something.
Yeah, and that's, like, why he's obsessed with Charles, you know? He's just looking for a reason to murder him or something. I don't know.
Look, he just breaks his hand off.
People really should learn to keep their hands to themselves.
Yeah, and he does it so easily.
Escalates.
Here, have your hand.
That escalated quickly.
And also, he's married because he's got a ring on his ring finger.
Yeah, and he got his wanking hand.
Yes.
I love how, like, just from the get-go, Charles is like, no, I'm a fucking evil bitch.
Yeah, no shit's given.
And I think it was on the Lost episode, Bede, you said that Brian Krause just looked too much like a cat. So yes. It just made the, like, makeup easier, and you're right, you see it more.
Yeah, no,
after
he looks
you
just
say
like
that,
a cat.
It just really works.
They barely had to do anything with the makeup, you know, just like, here's some fangs, a little more shadow in your eye, I don't know.
How did he just run into that? What a loser.
What an idiot.
Oh, he just looks like he's just above him and just going, rah, 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 rah.
That's how he eats, didn't you know?
He just that's how I eat. You got a problem with that?
Oh, look at all the cats.
If there are cats around, that means Captain Marvel's around too.
Oh my god, if they're all Flerkins, that would make this movie even better.
I mean, that would make sense in the universe of this film. But speaking of awesome cats...
I would watch Captain Marvel versus cat people.
Yes. Speaking of cats, this is as good as cat, Clovis.
No.
The best film cat? Maybe.
Yes.
And I think we mentioned it last time as well. Stephen King and the cats, like... There's always cats in Stephen King work.
Yes. And he's an attack cat.
Yeah.
But Clovis is like the hero of the movie. But then you have, like, you know, the horror that happens to Church with Pet Sematary. But then you have something so horrific, but you kind of like, I get it, with the cat from hell.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's others, like, I'm obviously not remembering right now, but off the top of my head.
Like the cat's eye, you know, I feel like a lot of authors, they just kind of, I feel like every writer sort of has like that animal that they kind of find showing up in their work every so often, you know, like Dean Koontz, the lesser Stephen King, as some would say, always had dogs. Poe has a raven.
Well, Stephen King is a cat. The credits told us so.
That's true.
So you know, he's actually
maybe just
a cat.
Like Charles, this whole movie is just Stephen King revealing himself, just like Charles' poem in the beginning.
Yes. Oh, there's a squirrel. Marcy, I'm trying to. Maybe I'm misremembering this. Didn't people pop when they saw the squirrel just come out of nowhere when we went to that screening?
I can't remember.
It's a bit hard not to notice it once you notice it.
Once you see it, it's like, yeah.
Squirrels are badasses. Like, I feel like they just always jump out into the middle of the road right in front of you, you know, just to like fuck with you.
I love the fact that basically the capture when Clovis went meow, it looked like it sounded like he's saying, oh shit.
He was in cat
saying,
language.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
But I love, like, we mentioned That's this last time. It's like Charles really doesn't give a shit. Like, he doesn't need to do all this. Now he's on their radar.
Now I'm going to run over all these kids.
I mean, one of the things that's so effective about this scene is that the movie's already told you that it was no problem killing cats, kids, incest, you know, whatever the fuck you can imagine that is, like, crossing a line. It's already said it's going to do it. So, and Keane, it would not be the first time he killed a kid in anything. So it's like, if you're watching that, there's a very good chance he's going to run over all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we're saying is that when Gage was killed in Pet Sematary, it was a cat that was driving the truck.
Yes. It was Church back from the dead driving the truck.
It was Clovis's evil cousin. Cousin Church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Clovis, Church, maybe they are related.
I think all the cats that are in Stephen King things are just actually all related.
Look at this special scene. Effect.
No, what's in the baby one, though?
There are a long line of cat people hunting cats. You know, they're kind of like the Van Helsing family of cats.
Clovis Rush, what the fuck? Well, in the lost episode, did we not confirm ourselves that Clovis is actually the sheriff?
Yes.
Oh yeah, no, he runs this town.
No, he's the deputy at the moment, but he ranks himself up to being the police chief by the end of this movie.
No, he's already police chief.
I badly want just like a buddy cop movie of him and his partner. And like the whole thing is like Clovis working his way up to sheriff.
And know what the movie could be called? It could be called Perfect Partners.
No, fuck off. You should sell that shit to Hallmark. They'll probably buy it. Oh my god.
Oh, and, look, it's the car from Die Another Day.
Here we find out that werecats apparently have John Cena powers.
Yes.
That was a shit joke. I think I need to sad trombone myself.
Are we saying that John Cena is a sleepwalker?
No, he's just invisible. You can't see him.
I beg to differ. I always notice when John Cena's around.
Well, usually you can feel his presence.
This is meant to be the Midwest, but it looks like California.
No.
Oh, this is 100% California.
See,
Clovis,
cat.
Get him, Clovis.
My family cat, Colgo, he's an attack cat. He just likes to jump at your legs.
And one time he's over here, damn it.
He thinks it's playing, but it's not.
It's totally not.
One time he like literally projected himself at one of my little nephews and nieces and knocked them over.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, but that's funny.
But he's calmed down now since he's got his little two brothers living with him now.
Clovis is pissed. He's like, this was going to be my big break, pulling this guy in.
Yep.
Fucking dumbass.
I like how we learn they can do invisibility, but also shape-shifting of cars.
Yes.
For some reason.
Right. Now, it all makes sense.
So basically, is it because they can, whatever they touch, they can also shape shift as well? I suppose.
I don't know. I mean, do you know what would have been really good? If Stephen King was like, I love this story so much, I'm actually going to do the novel. And we got all those answers.
That'd be amazing. He's still writing. He can still do it.
I mean, I'm surprised, like, because there's so much plot and backstory and mythology in this film. I'm surprised, like, he didn't write a novel that's, like, at least 900 pages that explains everything that happened.
Well,
I mean, that's just a case story for you. It's always about character first.
Yeah, so, like, there's no actual, like, short stories that could link to this either.
Mm.
He could have given us that. Stephen King, no. Listen to our podcast. Do what I tell you. I don't care that you're getting old.
I mean, like, I feel like even Graveyard Shift, which is just a simple, you know, monster movie or whatever, I feel like even that has a ton of different mythology and stuff going on in it.
It's not Richard Jenkins.
It's the Richard Jenkins you get off Timu.
And also Horace.
Fucking Horace. Do you know anyone called Horace? I don't ever know anyone called Horace.
Horace is like one of those names that are going out of fashion now that nobody names their, any of their kids. Like,
I don't think anybody was Horace ever called their kids fashion? Horace. Yeah.
Except for Stephen King. Yeah. Oh, he's got his little bed. Leave me alone. I'm doing all the file work.
He's like, I gotta, gotta play and get pats right now.
I gotta go see my kids play in an hour.
People are scared of cats, though.
Oh, look, it's Mick Garris's wife, Cynthia Garris.
I was going to say, oh, sexy Arnie in the sheriff's office.
Mick's sexy wife, I guess. Find
him. Neil Clovis.
Me and Chief Clovis are getting out of here.
Chief, we're the real chief police. You know what's what
like, so lonely.
I mean, why not Clovis be a chief? I mean, there have been stories in the news where a dog or something or has been voted as chief of police.
I mean, I sincerely believe everything would be better if it was run by dogs.
Yes.
Or
there,
cats.
There would be no war, you know, no stupid laws.
Yeah, there'd be laws. It'd be like what they want. Why didn't you get it? 20 walks a day. Like, fuck off. I don't have that much energy.
If you don't give us 20 walks a day and also a snack every hour, you're going to jail.
Now, I just want to know, who the fuck sat there and lit all these fucking candles in the house?
Marcy, what
candles?
Yeah, that's
a lot of candles.
She needs to eat, but she's spending her day lighting candles for her sexy son.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure my most romantic gesture was lighting, like, 6 candles tops. This is a lot.
Oh, now you notice he's been injured? Jeez, what sort of mum are you?
And also, you're right too. It's like, why don't you just go out and get your own virgins?
For real, she could do it so much easier. Could you imagine how easy she would have it in like 2024? You'd literally go on Tinder or something, set the age to like the really, you know, early 20s or whatever. Like 19-year-olds, look for that one virgin that's going to be in there. You'd be good.
You know how fucking college dudes are. It'd be easy at any time of life.
For real, she could just go to the college, go to the nerd area. Yeah.
She literally just has to show up.
She could just go up to a random table full of nerds and be like, so, which one of you want to come back to my, and all of them will put their hands up.
Exactly. She'd have virgins forever.
She could live 1,000 lifetimes.
See, it's because there's only 2 of them. They don't have the sense between them to know what would work.
Mm. I also find it ironic that they're cat people that are afraid of cats.
Well, see, that kind of changes it up again. Like,
it's a cool little mythology, right? Because, you know, usually say for like, werewolves, right? Like, it's the wolf that gives you the curse. It's not what you're afraid of. And in this case, you know, the cats are like, I mean, I feel like the cat people, the interesting is, I don't think we keep calling them cat people, but I don't think they're people at all. Like, I think they're just, you know, like this intelligent race of cats. Or like cat creatures.
And people
they've just decided to shapeshift as people to like fit in this society or something.
Well, that makes sense. That makes more sense. Like, I love the use of this song through the movie as well. It's very like iconic.
And the song is called Sleepwalker.
And the song is called Sleepwalkers.
Which did inspire Stephen King. Ew!
Don't lie, that turned you on.
They wouldn't do this, I feel like, these days either. Or like most, you know, no studio film, I feel like, would do any of this. It's just like, not only are we going to imply incest, but here you go.
Yep.
Gross.
Wait, so they can pretty much be their real selves show off in a mirror, so wouldn't people have noticed them by now, like if they walk past? So imagine like you're in the men's bathroom, and Charles is in there, you're in there as well washing your hands, and you look up like, holy shit, it's a fucking cat alien creature monster.
Well, maybe they only go to the bars when people are drunk, so if they see a creature in the mirror, they like don't bat an eye at it.
Right. And plus, I mean, Bede, you know how awkward men are in men's bathrooms. Like, no one's saying shit. No one is saying shit. You know, they're just, they're going to look up, be like, that's a thing, walk out, mind my own business.
Oh, look, it's Ferris Bueller's parents.
Terrible. God, they never did recover from Bueller having that day out.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they got married in real life. They met on Ferris Bueller and they divorced not long after this movie. So Sleepwalkers ended their marriage. You know better than that.
Why are you being such a bitch? That's just mean. You don't call your mom a bitch.
Yeah, she's not a dog.
I'm hungry and I'm not capable of feeding myself.
Well, she's angry and hungry.
I'm too lazy to go outside. You do it.
Exactly. I know how she feels.
She is very much the lazy cat of the relationship.
That's probably what Stephen King is going for. It's just like she's a lazy cat.
Right, just lazes around in the sun.
But when you think about it, if you look at like the big like wild cats, who does all the hunting to get the food? It's the female lions.
Mm. Oh, well, see, this is maybe just
the male lions are the one who's just they sleep, they fuck, they eat, and that's it.
Well, I mean, this is another kind of twist on that then, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in this case, it's the female, quote unquote, lion that's kind of in power and sort of running everything. And it's then, you know, it's the male lion having to go out and do all the shit. So it's kind of like a power reversal in the world of cats.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is true or not. This is on IMDb trivia. It says, according to Mick Garris, Stephen King's wife, Tabitha, wrote a treatment for a sequel that would have involved a women's basketball team.
I mean, would the basketball team would have been Sleepwalkers, or would they be...
I don't know, that's all it says.
So it would be like the horror version of Teen Wolf?
Yes.
Maybe? Well, they've been in the family for a long
time. You probably wouldn't believe how long. Or maybe a crossover with Teen Wolf. The Teen Wolves versus the Teen Cat People.
By the way, Mom, can we just get rid of all the mirrors in this house? People are going to know where Cat Monster.
I know, why just have like the mirrors there?
Why do we even
there?
Keep mirrors in this house?
Yeah, maybe they like to look at themselves, but they should do that in their own, like, upstairs.
Nice car. Yeah, but not to be like, you know, anything against the cats, but I feel like the cats kind of all look the same, right?
Look at the size of those. Look at the size of those scissors. Oh, they're strays, but we'll get rid of them.
We're good at getting rid of pests. That's not creepy at all.
Yeah, not ominous in the slightest.
Oh, by the way, don't go upstairs. Leatherface is up there.
Stay out of the basement. We got a lot of bodies down there.
See, again, it doesn't make sense why she didn't go after her own food. She's practically like...
I mean, I don't know why they don't just jump her right now.
I mean, if these sleepwalkers... Right, I mean, if sleepwalkers are basically were the inspiration for vampires in this world, I mean, vampires, since they're dead, like, they can pretty much use their hypnotic powers to seduce either men or women. So, I mean... Mm. She can just, like, not only just go after teen boys, she can go after teen girls herself. So why not?
I mean, of course you can. Yeah, they can go after whoever they want. But no, I mean, they're definitely, you know, you could definitely say that they're inspiration for vampires in this universe. And I mean, that's the other fun thing about the cat people is they really are this, you know, cool, unique creation by Stephen King because they combine so many elements of different mythologies. You know, because like they've got the vampire stuff of the you know, the mirror, the being able to turn invisible or shapeshift, right? And although
yeah, because
I
guess
sure
like thinking about it, the vampire thing, it's like you don't see their reflection, whereas in this one their reflection or reveals what they really are. Hadn't really thought about it that way before.
Still a better love story than Twilight.
Everything's a better love story than Twilight.
I was gonna say a dog taking a shit is a better story than Twilight. Fuck, I can't English.
Freddie Hupping is
a dog
blanket.
After they take a shit, they're so happy. Mm-hmm.
Freddie Hupping is blanket is a better love story than Twilight.
So has anyone been on a first date at a old cemetery?
Not yet, but I'm planning to next time. Hey, baby, let's go to the cemetery and get down with the dead people.
Do you know I do a podcast about Night of the Living Dead and cemeteries turn me on? Yeah.
I'll be coming
totally
for you.
Totally not going to bury you in it afterwards.
Also, I'll be coming for you, Barbara. Oh, the car just
coming.
Well, the car just changed
too early.
Well, the car just changed on its own.
Just at a convenient time.
Eat that virgin.
What's up? You catching a nap? Leave me alone. I'm sleeping on the job. He's a one ball man, and he's off to the rodeo.
That's a man who really loves his job.
And yet this makes no sense why they went out here in the first place.
Say
I mean,
again,
I feel
like
it's a cat thing, right? Like you're just playing with your food.
Mm.
Well, that's the thing again, like that shot just then with Charles looking at Tanya. That could be the shot like, oh, maybe he's second guessing doing this.
And he's totally not.
Yeah.
He's perfect casting for this, by the way. I mean, not only does he look like a cat, but he looks like a serial killer. Like that whole sequence right there with all of the like quick pushes on him in center, it just, I don't know, like unnerves me for some reason.
Mm.
He has like a Patrick Bateman smile.
Yes.
And that's how he got cast in Charmed.
Yes.
Oh no, he's falling in love. Or is he?
Is he?
The movie wants us to think so.
It does, but we know better because we've seen it before.
I mean, we almost did an audio commentary on this last week.
Almost.
That was Lost to the Void.
Charles!
What, are you saying he's really... Charles Xavier. This is
yes.
before he got his
This is how
powers.
He became Charles Xavier.
You should have killed me when you had the chance, Charles. We are the future, Charles, not them.
So is Magneto showing up, or?
I mean Magneto could have been Charles's kind of dad. We are the future, Charles. We're mutant cat people, Charles.
See, this is really when you're meant to think, oh, all right.
Right, he's not going to do it. He's actually a good cat.
But it's like, nope.
Let me take your soul.
Your soul is mine.
He thought,
finish him.
Charles's real last name is actually Charles Shang Tsung.
So he's both,
yes,
Charles Xavier and Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat.
Yes, I mean, why not?
I didn't actually say it before, but I do love that his last name is Brady. Like,
yes,
they specifically chose Brady to like feel like the Brady Bunch, or that that's like what they think people are. You know.
Da, 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 da.
Cat scratch.
Cat scratch fever.
She just found out her new boyfriend is banging his own mom.
Which is even worse than him being a cat monster.
Exactly.
What will she have to say? Find out when we return.
Oh my
gosh. He didn't
have
to go this hard, but he did.
Oh my gosh.
Look at him. He really doesn't need any makeup.
Yes. They just took the makeup off him. That's what he looks like underneath.
I mean, it looks like if you just shave the actor's eyebrows, like, you're good to go.
Yes.
He looks like Ron Perlman as the Beast.
He kind of does.
He really does.
Which is funny that Ron Perlman does show up in this movie.
That he does. It was destiny.
Mm-hmm. Why would you not just run away?
Yeah, who cares if he's dead at this point?
Hmm. Like he saw he was a cat person thing.
Yes.
Who says that? I've never heard he it does. Phrased that way.
There's a lot of things that Charles says in this movie I don't think anyone's ever actually said in real life.
Since when has anyone ever said cop kebab?
Yes. Who does Charles think he is? Freddy Krueger?
Yes, he does.
Looks like him. He's got an eye for her. My mother's gonna kill me!
Get off me! Why do I feel like his mom doesn't care about his clothes? Tanya, when exactly did I lose your trust?
Help me! I really do love how this whole time you think he's like good or better than you think, and then he's just such a fucking little shit.
I mean, if Tanya wanted to beat Charles, all she had to do was just get a laser pointer and just zoom it around, and he'll just chase up after it.
Yeah, how does nobody in this movie think to just do that?
I think it was common back then that people used the little laser pointers. I felt like that came a couple of years after.
Fair point. I mean, they can at least get like a little squeaky toy and throw it or something.
Exactly. You know, ball of
yarn. Where are the balls of yarn?
Yes.
Officer, officer! My boyfriend is the cat person and the toaster's been laughing at me.
And this is the moment where the film really just goes insane. No, we both have to go. Calm down, okay? Like, no.
Everything's gonna be all right. Ah! So if he's got a pencil in his head, does that mean he's a leadhead?
No, he's a cop kebab.
One of many in this film.
I know, then there's the, like, corn on the cob death.
Yeah,
no, it absolutely doesn't hold back.
Yeah, the cat people are having a cookout later.
Mm. This whole movie is just, this escalated quickly.
Well, again, I love how, like, their whole thing is we have to stay hidden, we're trying to stay hidden, and then mm-hmm. Charles is just like, I am going to do everything possible to attract attention.
He literally goes out of his way to get himself to think he's an attention whore. He's an absolute attention whore.
I mean, that is a cat for you.
It is. A cat's like, you can look, but you can't touch. And then when it wants, it's like, but you have to pat me now. It's 3 a.m.
Get him, Clovis.
I decide when I get pet.
Good boy, Clovis.
No one messes around in my town.
Clovis is not taking any of his shit.
Yeah, Clovis will fuck you up.
Clovis is good boy.
He's not Clovis anymore. He's Abracat Van Helsing. Hello?
Yes. But he's not hunting vampires.
Yeah, but he's hunting sleep.
Yeah, they hunt the cat people.
Oh, fair. Imagine if he shows up in his little, like, top hat and shit.
Yes.
Got his tiny little cat crossbow. Cat
eye patch. And then he's voiced by Anthony Hopkins.
No, it should be voiced by Antonio Banderas. He's the best cat voice actor.
I am Antonio. I am Abracat Van Helsing. I'm here to kill some.
Look, a little quo versus your poor baby.
Should be voiced by Hugh Jackman, you know? The ultimate Van Helsing.
No, I should be voiced by Charles Bronson. I'm going to take revenge.
What are you talking about? Should be voiced by Russell Crowe.
G'day, folks. It's me, Russell Crowe.
I'm here playing a cat.
I'm also
crazy. You really shouldn't cut your fruit like that.
I think everyone needs to go see all my exorcism movies because I'm going to star in every exorcism movie ever made.
I love how Russell Crowe at a certain point in his career just decided, you know what? Nothing but exorcism movies now.
I'm here for it. I'm so here for it.
I mean, that's probably the reason why his new movie, they changed it to The Exorcism. It's like, well, he just started an exorcism movie recently. Let's just give it a very similar title so people are confused.
Right.
And they think it's a sequel.
But then there will be a sequel.
I mean, the sequel is coming.
That's how you get them in to see the movie, right? Is if they think it's a sequel. Mm.
Another thing I don't understand, why was she cooking, like, fruit and chicken for? Or preparing it? Like,
yeah, who the hell eats, like, peaches with chicken? I mean, I guess, well...
Oh, well, I suppose... What if it's apricot chicken?
Yeah, but that's still kind of... Nah, I'm not a fan.
I don't know. I don't eat meat anymore, so I don't know. I don't know what you people do.
Well, you can have fake chicken.
Oh, fucking pineapple.
It's or thick
apricot.
Put that pineapple on your pizza.
Yes. Ew.
I mean, that is delicious.
Now that's spoof.
I love how it's like bubbling and shit.
We could go, Mom. I'll be okay.
No.
Half your face is fucking ripped open, dude.
It's just a flesh wound.
He's just a little dying. He's still good.
See, it really does feel like there needs to be just a whole novel of this. I mean, they even have like little, you know, phrases for everything, like going dim.
Yeah.
Want to know like the history of dim.
Tweet at Stephen King every day.
This movie should have come with, like, that pamphlet that the original dude from the 80s had just to tell the audience, like, what all these terms in the movie mean.
Yes.
Didn't they do that with A Clockwork Orange for all the words?
Yes.
I mean, you probably would have had to.
Because I think the original book, like, has a thing.
It's Toby Hooper.
It's a difficult read, yeah, because it's just, you don't know what anything means.
I mean, two legends of the of everything.
All right, let's go make Mangler together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one not so much.
Maybe that's where the whole thing was hatched, right here.
At Salem's Lot. Oh, look, it's a crossover. It's Stephen King and Clive Barker on the same screen.
And you and I never did a film together that I can think of, but maybe someday.
And then let's do Candyman again.
All right, Clive, I got an idea. Let's make Pennywise versus Pinhead.
Clive Barker will probably punch you in the face if you bring up Hellraiser.
Yeah, Clive Barker fucking hates that movie. That's the one thing that I remember every time I think of Barker and his interviews is a special feature on the Hellraiser DVD, you know, back when we still had those.
Mm-hmm.
And him just being like, all right, this is the last time I'm talking about that fucking movie. Like, that's how the whole thing starts.
Yeah, ask him about Candyman or some other shit.
Yeah, Candyman rocks.
Like, hey, Lord of Illusions, that's pretty cool.
I love Lord of Illusions. Underrated movie.
Fuck everyone who likes my movie.
Fuck being famous.
Exactly. Fuck my most famous creation.
Would you all just fuck off, jerk off to Hellraiser and leave me alone?
Well, you shouldn't have made them SMS. Like, SMS. Made them so hell.
Goddamn sexy.
SMNC. SMN. Demons from Hell.
Do you mean BDSM? Where are you going?
I don't know.
SMS?
SMM. Sorry.
SMM.
That's what I said.
Send, I feel like I'm just going to message you pictures of Pinhead for your SMS.
Shut up. I meant to say SMM, but I actually said it.
I think you mean, do you mean BDSM? I think you mean BDSM.
No, I said SMM, you know.
SMM?
BDSM.
You mean slave and master?
Yes.
Yeah, but isn't Hellraiser look more like a BDSM type thing?
Well, that too. It could be all of them. Don't kink shame, Marcy.
Yeah,
who said I was kink shaming?
They're into a little bit of everything, so.
Exactly. Because, you know, they want to tear your soul apart.
then a whole bunch of people are going to be like, you don't know what anything you're talking about.
They're just out to journey into the furthest region of experience, all right? You know, they don't, exactly. They don't care what it is.
We're going into the most erotic thing we could possibly think of next after all that, being a housewife. Or the milkman.
And give that cat the key to the city. Come on now.
I'm sorry, Bossy.
No, I looked up S&M and it told me something about a urinary thing. And I'm like, that's not what they meant at all.
That could turn them on too.
Yeah, it's mine.
Pain and pleasure.
You know, Hellraiser porn, and we all know it.
I'm trying. It's not really showing me anything. I mean, I have found a new device that if B misbehaves, I'm going to smack him with it. I'm trying to send it. So I'm trying to save it so I can text it to you and laugh.
No.
Because this has so much to do with this movie right now.
I do love how Charles is suffering from a literal cat fever.
Cat fever.
The cat scratched him. He got a fever.
That's literally, like, most of that is just from Clovis. So that really shows you, like, how dangerous cats are to them.
Oh, jeez. I'm looking at the thing you sent me, Marcy. It looks like a very dangerous microphone.
It's a paddle with spikes on it.
I mean, but it looks like a microphone. Better check. I like it's like, oh, how can we make sure the cops don't find us? Let's make the car invisible.
The car.
I mean, like, if they don't know where they live. Car, you can hide the house, right?
I was gonna say, can't they just change the whole house or maybe the whole neighborhood?
Well,
or
because we don't have the book version to know, so maybe they can only do it for small things for short periods of time.
Yep.
Maybe we use too much energy to do the house.
Yes.
Yeah, but King just had to not write the book, so now we'll never know.
And we'll never know. That's so rude.
So
I don't care
rude.
That I have so many other Stephen King things I could read.
Yeah, the man's only given us like 60 other books, you know, but I'm mad about this one.
Yes, I want like, I nearly said Hellraiser, fucking hell. I want Sleepwalkers to be a book. I want more. Damn it, more.
Child.
I'm surprised they haven't made a sequel to this. Or even like a direct-to-video sequel.
Yeah, I mean, the way things are now, you know, I'm surprised there's not like 20 sequels of this already.
I'm surprised someone's like, let's do a legacy sequel.
I mean, there hasn't even been a fucking Cat People sequel, which is a more popular story. Like, how is there not a fucking Cat People since the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that hasn't been redone again.
Right?
Speaking of cats, there's Ron Perlman looking like a cat as well. I told
you to wait on my... And somehow he's one of those, like, really disgruntled cats.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He looks like a Maine Coon.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't the Maine Coon, they kind of resemble Ron Perlman?
Yes.
He'll never walk again.
How is it possible that in
a
movie
that... I take offense to that as a Polish person. God damn.
He's really pissed.
Matt's angry at Rob Perlman.
Ron, how could you? I trust
actually,
you.
He's not Rob Perlman. He's Meow Perlman.
Feed your cat puns.
Ron Meowman.
See, that's better.
Nah, mine was number one.
No, it wasn't.
They're both terrible.
Also, I like the fact that even in a movie where there's like literal cat monsters that love to have incest sexy time with each other, Ron Perlman's the most creepiest character in the whole movie. I want to spank her.
I'd argue the obsessive teacher chasing you down with his car just because... You can't find your record is a little more creepy. Look, all you got is... You're not where you from, you say.
Yeah, for real. Like, are you sure you're from this town? Listen, that little girl needs a
good smack on the butt. It's totally normal that I'm chasing you down in my car after school.
Yeah, it really is.
Stay away from her, Soames.
See, the police even's like, you should stay away from her. What does he know?
Maybe he is a cat person. We just never knew it.
This is the best corn I've ever tasted.
Yeah, I like the idea that the best meal he's ever had is just the corn. Like, that's all she gave him was just a plate of corn.
It's just corn with some bread on the side.
Like, I don't see anything else in that kitchen. It's literally just a pot of corn.
There's also the half-eaten bread. That's
and also just a giant bowl of fruit.
But like she, it turns out she's just a terrible cook. Like, that's all.
He just knows how to serves boil a plate corn. Of wheat bread.
Honey, listen.
Like, here's corn and bread.
Listen, honey, I know I didn't have time to cook a proper meal because I was looking for our son, Ferris.
The school has no idea where he is.
And he's also being chased now by a teacher.
Yeah, but that kind of turned out to be really creepy. So.
I mean, yeah, especially
what was
in
with
hindsight.
The 80s and psychotic teachers. I mean, God, there's like 100 movies about that.
Because we all knew what teachers were like back then.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, look at the setup of this bath.
That's a nice bath. They are a well-off family.
They got like double sink there.
Mind you, they're meant to be middle class.
That was
yeah, but
middle
I mean,
class.
This was back in the 80s where middle class was basically upper class.
Yes. And you could buy a house for like $20.
Right, you could buy a house by the time you were 30.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You could buy a house by the time you were 21.
Yeah, now I
that's
feel
because
like
they put
I'll
you to
lucky.
Work when you were 10.
Be oh, lucky yes. if I ever own a house by the time I'm like 70.
Yep.
I love you, honey.
I feel like that's a weird thing to say to your kid in the bathroom. I don't know, just me. They're just like in there taking a shit. I love you so much, honey.
I love you too, Dad.
Ah, oh, you sunk my battleship.
Battleship. Gee, I wonder what could be happening right now.
Well, one thing's for sure, these cat people don't know how to mow their lawn.
That's because the cats are out
They're
there.
They're lazy fucking cats.
Police officers.
Maybe it was the wind.
You know what? I'm going to make a horror movie where it is the fucking wind. It's the wind doing all the killing.
Matt, that movie...
I'm not talking about tornadoes. I'm talking about like a gust of wind.
Matt, that movie already exists and it's called The Happening.
That was
it's
different.
Not the wind.
It wasn't the wind.
But it was blowing it through the wind.
No, in my movie, the wind is like an actual like thing, like it thinks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love how it takes all this for the mum to finally get out of the house and do something.
Even the mum's dresses also looks like a curtain too.
That was the fashion like in the 80s and coming into the 90s.
Yeah, customer not the customer's best work on this film.
It's like, how do we make everyone look really daggy? Mrs.
Brady. Right, like you've got you've got Alice Creed and Matt Shnamek, and oh. You know,
jeez,
old Dab went down after that.
He went down quickly.
I do love how she put on like her going out face, you know, like she's got the bright red lipstick and everything. Just going
she
out.
She changed
for a night
her dress.
Yeah, just an average night on the town.
I mean, Alice Cridge.
I mean, yes.
My son is badly hurt. He may be dying. Your daughter tried to kill my Charles.
I mean, even though we tried to kill her, but that's
ma'am.
Even though we tried to kill your daughter, but that's beside the point. He's
my son. I always love when the villains say that. Like, do you not see the connection here?
Did you not realize you did like way worse? Huh?
right?
Yes.
You kind of started it, you know, and you're not doing very well at finishing it.
I mean, your son decided to, like, alert everybody to his presence in the town.
Right. Your son's, like, the dumbest fucking cat person to ever
exist. Like, he literally could have killed her at the fucking house.
Also, Horace went to the Stormtrooper school shooting.
Horace felt so offended that was his name.
I'm going to have this scene on repeat. Oh, look, it's Lon Jandis and Joe Dante.
No, we don't even imply his name. Fuck that guy.
It's just Joe Dante.
But also Joe Dante, who I do love.
I like how epic Joe Dante's hair was at this period.
It looked massive, like so much hairspray.
All of those guys had epic hair. Like John Carpenter has like a specific like big hair kind of thing.
Hey, do you know what she just did? Do you know what the move she just did is called?
What's that?
Corn on the cop. I did a bead joke.
See, this is the thing.
That's
like
a landline hanging there for people born before 2010. Or born after 2010.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I think one of the things, like, because the first time I watched this movie when I was young, I hated it. But the more times I watched it, it's like,
stupid.
Well, I mean, yeah, you weren't yes, but that, well, I think it made me realize, like, oh, it's this way because that was the point. They were making something deliberately campy and silly.
It is a very campy movie.
I mean, when you get stabbed at the scene where a cop gets stabbed in the back by corn, you know exactly what movie you're making.
I do love how that is kind of a thing when you're a kid, right? Is like you see something like that and you just take it at face value and you're like, this is stupid. And then you grow up and you're like, oh no, that was actually like smart, intentional comedy.
Sometimes, yeah, things resonate differently when you're older.
No. Okay, everybody, we got to protect the backlot of Universal.
Yeah, also, fun fact for those listening, all those cats that they just unleashed, I believe I remember hearing that they lost a bunch of them to just...
Yes.
You know, they all just became roaming cat games on the studio lot.
I was going to say, it's all the cats, like, running to my house. They should come and live with me.
Yeah, Marcy brings all the cats to the yard.
I do.
Oh, she had some finger food.
It's I like Mystery Science Theater, but worse.
Here we just have bad jokes.
Jokes as bad as the movie.
No, they're easy jokes.
Oh, and also easy people.
And also my favorite thing in all 90s movies, you can shoot one bullet at a car and it just blows up.
Yeah, I mean, if you grew up in the 80s, you just grew up believing that cars just exploded by touching them.
I mean, she didn't even like aim for like the gas tank or anything. She just shot at the car.
You know, back then cars were kind of like male teenage virgins, you know, like you just give them a hot enough look and they just explode.
I mean, mind you, that bullet only just grazed like the side there and it just blew up.
It just blew up.
Right, just barely touched it, you know. And just...
That's why I love that joke in The Simpsons where what's his face?
He loves it so much he forgot it.
Hold on. Sorry, I'm having a brain moment.
You mean you don't have a brain?
He's just thinking about how turned on Mole Man, by all those cars exploding.
Mole Man, when he's in that car, and then he drives off the road, and he doesn't even hit the tree, and the car still explodes.
It still explodes, yeah. How could you forget the name of Mole Man? What's wrong with you?
Well, to be fair, Marcy, I am older than Mole Man, so...
I mean, he says he's 31.
We are older than Mole Man. Oh, God, we are older than him now.
I think you mentioned...
The thing about getting older, kids, is eventually you realize that you're now officially older than most of your favorite sitcom characters.
We're older than Alice Cringe is in this movie.
Yep.
I have to say it like it is.
Also, I think you mentioned this on the Lost episode. Oh, fuck you. Have a break. Have a Kit Kat.
I'll give you that one.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat.
He made himself laugh so hard.
I don't know. Oh, look, he looks way better than he did before.
Charles, did you do your makeup?
He's clearly breathing, though.
He's not dead. I haven't had sex with him yet. Right. Also, why are they called sleepwalkers?
That was explained at the beginning.
You, that's why, Bead.
I mean, it was, but it doesn't make sense. They don't they sleep, but they don't like sleepwalk or anything like that. And that has nothing to do with the cats.
You know, they sleep a lot, but they walk sometimes.
I mean, she has powers. She can play music.
I mean, I think the smart answer is like they're sleepwalking through life or some shit. But yeah, no, it's never really explained.
That'd be like saying that'd be like saying werewolves are like, what could I use as an example? Pencil pushers.
Pencil pushers.
I mean, in the monster world, they are typically the like grunt that's being made to do all the shit or whatever.
Yes. See
for yourself. Goddamn Dracula, always running things, fucker.
Damn those howling pencil pushers.
Those goddamn marsupial office workers.
Yes. I think he also mentioned this in the last episode of this, Marcy, is that this movie just goes by so quickly.
Yeah. Oh no, it's almost finished. I'm like, wait, how did that happen?
Right, I feel like we just started.
I know.
He's a wonderful dancer. Please dance with my hideous corpse, son.
For real? Like, what is he even going to do with her at this point?
He looks like his makeup
I just love it. It just keeps getting weirder and weirder right until the final seconds.
It just keeps getting weirder. I love how he looks like a mangled version of the fly.
Yes. Well, my entire police squad is dead, so it's all up to me. And Clovis.
Well, and Clovis. These cats. Clovis is not taking no shit now. Clovis is fucking going for it now.
Oh, isn't it?
Clovis is the final cat of this movie.
Hey, by the way, Marcy, you know Clovis has a last name?
What's Clovis's last name?
Field.
Clovis Field. Oh, fuck off! You wank.
I know. But I knew you wouldn't remember the joke, so that's why I said it again. I mean, even Alice Cridge kind of looks a little bit like a cat.
Suck her
dry. Suck her dry.
I thought she was hungry for...
Really doing her best Sith Lord there.
So basically he has to suck the soul out and then pass the soul on to her. Again, Alice's Creed character is just fucking lazy. Why don't she just do it herself?
I don't get it. No! Tanya, get out of there! No one knows what the fuck they're doing. And the cats were her undoing all along.
That's a lot of pussy on screen.
She was a ball of yarn all along.
Surprisingly, there were not that many pussy jokes in this episode.
Oh, yeah. She just had another Kit Kat.
She's an angry pussy.
Yeah, you don't want an angry pussy. Shit.
Yeah, throw away your shotgun and run away.
And stuff. Yeah, that was a smart idea.
Mind you, there were still 6 bullets in that gun.
Wouldn't be surprised at this point.
They're
I always love that moment in a horror movie where they knock him out with something and then drop it and run away.
See, the cats, though.
Cats can see you. Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say they have a cat's eye.
Jeez, that was unfortunate.
Kind of wish his head would have landed in that.
What is her goal at this point? To suck her soul?
You know, for a species that is the last of their kind and they try to keep secret, they're not doing a very good job of trying to keep.
No, keep and she species. Just took a fucking bear trap kill. To the head.
Yeah, I mean, cats kill birds just for the fuck of it, you know? I don't even think she has at this point.
I mean, the chief wanted a house with a white picket fence, but this is not what he was referring to.
No, unfortunately, and it was also like a day left till retirement.
Just throw
Come on, Clovis.
Just throw a ball and a string at her, and that'll distract her.
So, with all the cops dead now, does Clovis and these cats just run the town?
Yes, they do.
They become the new police squad.
Clovis is like, I'm still your sheriff in town, but here's all my deputies.
Right. I'm the last member of the police squad, so my rank automatically moves up.
He's a cat cop.
Now she gets set on fire.
That's a bird. You know, there's ointment for that if you have a burning pussy.
See your doctor.
Fire pussy. Never want to do that.
No, the kitties.
They should have been Flurkins.
I mean, there would have been no movie. They should have ate them. That would have been...
Look at those fire effects. That's all you care about right now is your only son and your big burnt alive.
She just cares about him. Doesn't matter how many other people die or whatever. Like, that's just silly. I mean, it's not because she's just a bad guy. But still. I mean,
Matchin's driving is silly. Did you see how she just backed that car up?
After my whole experience in this town, I'm heading back to Twin Peaks. It's less weird there.
It's better there.
Clovis is very keen to go to Twin Peaks. Get some normalcy back in his life.
Clovis is just like, I can't believe how useless all of you were.
See, Stephen King should write a sequel novel where it just tells everything from Clovis's point of view.
It should
be. That would be amazing.
Freddy, I like how it's almost finished. You can chill.
I like how even Clovis has the look on his face, like, ugh, I'm sick. I'm too old for this shit.
He's too old for this shit. And then he's like, oh, we got to listen to an Enya song.
Hey, leave Enya alone. She lives in a $9 million house with all of her cats.
Pretty sure this is the only Enya song I have downloaded, and it's because of this movie.
And how come she hasn't asked me to live there with her? Huh?
Well,
huh?
She probably doesn't know of your existence yet, Marcy.
Well, people should be telling her.
You haven't
her.
Emailed her 1,000 times yet.
Well, people should be telling her.
Doo-doo-doo.
Well, as we watch the credits...
Yes. Hey, Clovis's real name is Sparks.
That's very cute.
It's very cute. I still like Clovis better.
Clovis is a cute name. What's I going to say? Yes. Pardon me. Thank you for joining us for the actual episode that got recorded.
for the Mick Garris and Stephen King classic.
Yes, in our first bonus audio commentary for the King Zone. And you can find us at supermarcy.com, or you can like, subscribe and all that stuff with the King Zone podcast on all your podcast players. And me personally, I'm Super Marcy on the socials and Super_Marcy on Letterboxd. Bead.
Awesome. And Marcy, if people want to find me out there on the internet, they can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd under Be Jamide. You can also find me Sorry, you can also find all my work over at supermasty.com and also listen to my solo podcast, Bead vs. the Living Dead, and its spin-off, Bead and Steve vs. K. Crystal Lake, on all podcast streamers everywhere.
Excellent. And Matt, what about for you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, never calling it X, at Killer Critics. You can find a bunch of my horror film reviews that I do at killerhorrorcritic.com. I have columns at Daily Grindhouse, A Manor of Vellum, and a bunch of writing at Dread Central as of this past year. So, yeah, I think that about does it.
Yes, and the credits are still going. we did that a bit quickly. But yes,
well, I just want to say I hope that anyone listening and watching, you know, gave this film a second chance and found more to appreciate it. Because I really do think that this is kind of one of those movies that's a little more forgotten maybe now at this point.
Maybe.
The talent involved. But it's a really, you know, it's a solid movie, so...
It is a solid movie. It's an insane movie, and I do think more people should appreciate Sleepwalkers for the camp classic that it actually is.
Yeah, I mean, and, it's got fun effects, a lot of great stuff in it. Corn on the Cob cop death.
Cop kebab.
Again, yeah, cop kebabs. But it's, again, it's just really fascinating lore, you know, and how can you not love Stephen King's writing in this?
Exactly.
Indeed. Exactly. Yeah, hope everybody enjoyed that. I certainly had fun doing this again and trying to come up with new things to talk about and trying to remember what we talked about last time. But yeah, hopefully we will have some more fun Kingzone bonus commentary episodes in the near future.
For sure. And thanks for everyone for listening to this episode of The Kingzone, and we'll see you all next time. See you all later, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'll see you in the King Zone.